الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, that Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says that there is one thing in life that brings me extreme happiness, and there is another thing that brings about extreme sorrow and pain. The thing that brings about extreme happiness is when friends, that is, the friends of Allah Ta'ala, get together. I mean their company, and they all friends of Allah Ta'ala. So their getting together is also for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So that atmosphere is like a Jannat atmosphere. It is the friends, they have got together for the friend. So it is literally a Jannat atmosphere, brings about that amount of happiness. And the thing that brings about extreme grief and pain is that when these friends have to part, either because the work has been accomplished, or they depart with death, it brings about extreme pain, grief and sorrow. The design of Allah Ta'ala is there are three realms. One realm is exclusive happiness and love. No grief whatsoever. Not even a message that can be painful, a word that is hurtful, absolutely nothing. لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما. Nothing, absolutely nothing that is hurtful, painful, vain, nothing, absolute. So it is just happiness, and happiness through and through. And that happiness is to such a point that لا يمسون فيها نصب. You don't get tired of it. Here you eat biryani for the second day, then you'll say, or a birthday, you something else now. And if you ate 3 consecutive weeks, you had brai, enough now. But come back to Kari Kijri, you get tired of it. But that realm of Jannat is such that you eat, you enjoy, and you go on and on enjoying. That enjoyment just progresses, as though every day is a new experience. Every moment is a new adventure, and you just want to can't continue. لا يبغون عنها حولا. You don't want to change. You're just moving. You know, it's not a good example, but how else can I illustrate this point to you? Someone is in a cowboy and crooks film, you know. So he's just moving with the flow. What's next? What's next? So that's the experience that you have in Jannat. It just, your heart is just pouring out. It's just pouring out. You want more and more and more. And it's not ending. The joy is not ending. وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُ. For everything Allah has got khazanas. He's got treasures. Even pleasure, he's got treasures. So you're not going to get tired. Many a times, you get people, when they come to around the age of 40, 45, so they come and complain, now marital life is not like what it was then. It's not like that. I don't get the excitement. So I say, you mustn't expect that excitement as well. You mustn't have that energy, and you mustn't have that excitement as well. Because now everything, when you come to 45, 50, everything is going down, right? And if you have the same adrenaline, if you want to have the same adrenaline, then you will make that adrenaline. And then you can have a heart problem after that. Heart can explode. Too much for the engine. So the heart cannot handle it. So Allah reduced everything gradually, gracefully. You don't get that level of excitement that you got initially. But now Jannat is a plane, continuous, eating continuous, eat and enjoy, eat and enjoy. There'll be a plane in Jannat where people will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala make it a reality. And that's like the highlight of Jannat. You know, you see, highlight of the Jalsa, he is the highlight. So the highlight of Jannat is to see Allah ta'ala. So when the Jannatis come back to their families, the families ask, you know, where have you been? Because we see such radiance, beauty, freshness, youth in your face that we didn't see before. Now that nur and that radiance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that reflected on them, they're bringing that. So it's joy upon joy, happiness upon happiness. You want to meet in moments, you are meeting Anbiya alayhi salam, sitting with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you want to see, you heard about Ismail alayhi salam, so you want to sit by him, there you're moving there. Right? And then you heard also about perhaps Nuh alayhi salam, you know, 950 years he preached amongst his people, how he must be looking like. So you, in a moment you are there. Right? So, whatever your heart aspires for, you name it and you got it. You name it and you got it. And that adventure, that excitement just grows on progressing all the time, not ending. Billions and trillions of years can pass, but there is no boredom. You're not tired. لَا يَمَسُّمْ فِيَا نَصَبْ لَا يَغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلَا. Now, this life is such, the life we live in here is such, no matter what happiness you have, and what level of security you have, but there is an iota of insecurity, a feeling of insecurity. If you got all your medicals covered, all your food and light covered, right? You got a good, decent amount of security that's also covered. But does anybody have an immunity against death? Do you feel secure? Amintum man fis sama. The one in the heavens, do you feel secure? You cannot, it's impossible to feel absolute secure in this life. You don't know when it's going to happen. Young person, 25, 30, don't we hear these type of stories, walking down and there, something happened, he just passed away. Just suddenly, coincidence. It may be a coincidence in our side, but by Allah, everything is destined. There is no such thing like coincidence by Allah Ta'ala. Was destined that this person is going to live to this point and this is how he's going to end. So no matter what feelings of happiness you have here, right, but there's going to be some level of insecurity. Person is going, he made the wealth for himself, he got all the investments, things of happiness, everything he's got. And after everything, he set himself up, his mother is aged, so he's got a caregiver, two caregivers for the mother, and he's gone to Disneyland. And at the peak of his happiness, he gets a phone, mother died. Kya khushi? Is dunya mein ye koi khushi machane, manane ki jagah hai? Is it a place to feel happier? Can't, impossible. In the heat of your happiness, and something just collapses. Pleasure, everything just disappears. So this is one realm. That is the realm of Jannat. Then you get another realm, and that realm is of Jahannam. And Jahannam, you see trouble and problem, you see difficulty and pain, you hear something that is difficult and painful, right? Internally you will have something that is painful and difficult, so right through, around you is difficulty, within you is difficulty, you're hearing wrong, difficulty, seeing things that are unbearable. So through and through is just pain and pain, nothing but pain. And the realm that we are living in, so that's the second realm. And the third realm is the realm that we are living. So it's a combination of the both. Sometimes it is happiness and sometimes it is gloom. Bloom and gloom. So you must have a combination of both in this world. You cannot say there's only gloom and you cannot say there's only bloom. It's going to be a combination. There's a birth here and there's a death there. There is someone recuperating and someone falling ill. Right? Someone just recovering and someone getting into a cancer. Don't we hear that all the time? All the time. It's recurring. And Allah Ta'ala says, "Fi anfusikum," why don't we see? Why don't we look? Why don't you ponder about these things? After everything is said and done, we are all looking for one thing. We are looking for eternal pleasure. Aren't we looking for eternal pleasure? I'm sure nobody disagrees that we are looking in search of eternal pleasure, right? Mawlana Rum explains this. We are trying from different fronts to get to the same, not realizing we are going for the same thing, we are asking for the same thing, but the approaches are different. And the approaches don't have to be right. Mawlana Rum says, what, four or five people were traveling, and they resolved that we've got 200 rands, and with this 200 rand, we'll just buy one thing. Mashwara is made, they decided one thing we're going to buy. Incidentally, all four of them speak different languages. One is speaking English, he says, "I want grapes." The other one is speaking Arabic, he says, "No, I need inab." And third person speaks Urdu, he says, "No, I need angur." The fourth person speaks Gujarati or Hindi, he says, "No, I need darak." All four different languages, and they're busting it up. "No, I want angur, I want inab, I want grapes." Busting it up. One person came along and said, "Don't worry, I'll get something that will satisfy all four of you all." So he took the money, he bought a whole box of grapes, now they're jumping with joy. So we're all looking for the same thing. The approaches may be different. What we are looking for, eternal pleasure. Allah Pak says, "That I have got." Now, we're coming back to the statement of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi, he says, that it brings me extreme joy. So now, what is the reason? Why is he experiencing this extreme joy? What's in it? What's in him? Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi is going to have his hair trimmed, you know, and the barber sees him and he looks at him with contempt because he's wearing very simple clothing. So because of the simplicity of his clothing, the man looks at him with contempt. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah asks his attendant, "How much you've got?" "I've got about 4 dinars, give it to him." So he says, "This person is looking at me with contempt because of my appearance. But what's within me, what's the blessing that I've got within me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the world can't afford." So, now, what brings about this type of happiness? So the thing that brings about this happiness is these people have connected to the right place. They connected to the right place. So the world has it that Allah Ta'ala has a reserve for everything. Gold, you go for a, to a mine. Right? Coal, there's a mine. Money, there's a place you want to get money, right? Bank or whatever. Right? So, in the system of Allah Ta'ala, there is a reserve. You want rice, there's a farm, there's a field. Sugar cane, there's a field. So, for everything, Allah Ta'ala has got a reserve. He's got a place. So, according to that principle, then there must be a treasure house of happiness. So that treasure house is Jannat. Now these people have connected themselves to Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala, obviously He's in control. Jannat, Jannat, everything, He's in control. So the happiness of Jannat, Allah Ta'ala allows it to pour into their hearts. So many a times, they aren't going anywhere. They're just around, sticking around. But you ask them the happiness, say, you know, we feel like we're in Jannat. Just that we're not seeing Jannat, but the happiness is almost identical to the happiness of Jannat. Just that we're not seeing it. But the happiness that they're experiencing is the same. Because they connected themselves to the right. So when they connected themselves to the right, then Allah Ta'ala will grant them. They are sincere, they are dedicated, they are there by Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala gives it to them. Just that you're not seeing Jannat, but as though you are, but as though you are there. This story that I'm going to relate, I heard it from about 3-4 people. One German doctor, he took a passion for Arabian horses. So because of him being impassionate towards the horses, he, whatever literature he could get together, he started watching, reading all the literature. He understood now, you know, I won't get it until I don't learn Arabic. So he went and learned Arabic, just as he can have a first-hand understanding about Arabian horses. So he's learned some Arabic, and he's in a shop, and he's eating, having his meal. He's got his book, and he's opening and reading. So one person sees him, watches him, and he asks him, by the way, are you a Muslim? So he got very irritated. What makes you say I'm a Muslim? I'm not a Muslim. So it's quite aggressive, impolite, rude. Anyway, that person went away. So later on, so when I went home, then I began to think to myself, you know, this person spoke to me with kindness, with respect. Just asked me, are you a Muslim? Perhaps he was a Muslim and he found something in me, so he wanted to show some kindness. Or if he was not a Muslim, he wanted to know about Islam. But nonetheless, whatever it may have been, but he wasn't aggressive, he wasn't impolite. What was the need for me to be so impolite, aggressive towards him? Now that began to hurt him. And then that was the catalyst for him to become not only a Mawlana, but the Buzrug of his time. From where to where. But now if you just analyze the story, where it's stemming from. It's stemming from, وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ The self-reproaching soul. He reproached himself. What business you had to be aggressive, to be rude, to be impolite? Now Allah Pak likes that. One is an approach where anybody tells me anything and I've got a story to justify, to cover up. And one is, you know, I reproach myself. But I don't think that what you did was right. What you said was right. How you spoke to your wife was incorrect. You didn't speak to your father how you're supposed to be speaking to him. Was this the way that you are supposed to be showing? Is this Islamic character? Is this what Islam is teaching? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. You see, we say, ilm is your deen. Inna hadha al-ilma deenukum. Fanzuru amman. So, ilm is your deen. Fanzuru amman ta'akhuduna deenakum. Then you must see who you call it taking your deen from. Must see. Any person's book and any person's literature is not all. He says that even if it is a book on grammar written by a person that's not committed to deen, his work is excellent, but definitely you will find a darkness in your heart. And it may be that a person that is deendar may be writing something simple, trivial, but in that simplicity of his, you will experience a noor within your heart. So this What is in the heart is in the pen. See, the pen is writing, is a reflection of what's in the heart. So the heart is good, then the pen will reflect it, the tongue will reflect it, but you will see something, some good in it. Now we want to know why Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, or these great, great mashayikh, luminaries, why did they excel? What was in them that made them excel? Now look at this, this one incident of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. Imam Saab, like he was a great alim, he was a businessman as well. So he lent some amount to a Majusi, a fire worship, about 40,000 something. Now to work out the equivalent of 40,000, 200 dirhams is about 5,000 land presently. That's a nisab of zakat, right? So someone knows mathematics very good, then you can do the multiplication. Tell me, then 40,000, 10,000 dirhams, how many rands it will be equivalent to? I think it's about 1 million rand, right? So he lent him about 1 million rand. This person has been avoiding Abu Hanifa for some time. Abu Hanifa says to himself that if I'm going to send my man to go and collect that money, he may feel embarrassed. You know, it was just between me and this Majusi. Now the third person got to know that I'm owing the man and I'm not paying, I'm deferring, I'm delaying the payment. So it will bring about some level of embarrassment to him. So Abu Hanifa says, no, let me go myself. If he's in problems, I will wave it off. And if he's forgotten, I will remind him, one of the two. So as he's approaching the house, you know, if you've been to India, say 40, 50 years ago, you'll find streets are littered sometimes, dung and whatever else, animals on the road. So Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi mistakenly stepped on some dung. So as he shook his shoe, some of the dung got onto the wall of the Majusi's house. Abu Hanifa was thinking to himself, now, I'm going to wash this down, the stain will still remain. I will try and wipe it out, but the stain will remain. Now what do I do? Anyway, he knocked at the door. So the Majusi was trying to avoid him, but anyway he came. So now Abu Hanifa has changed his whole tune. He says, you know, I've come here for a different reason now. Either I come here now at this moment, my niyat has changed. Now, I came here to ask you for a maaf. Because, you see, this is what happened, the dung has gone into your wall. Even if I do wipe it off, the stain will remain. Now, I don't know how to get this clear off my mind, but I have got just one idea, one thought coming to mind, that this, I must just wave the debt. I must just waive the debt completely, entirely. So at least my mind will be clear. You know, I heard the person, but I did something for him. I did something for him that will clear his mind against me. Now, he's a fire worshipper, nothing to do with Islam. But the level of consideration. Fire worshipper was not short of money. But perhaps he forgot whatever it was. There and then he cried. And he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This type of behavior can only be from a person who believes in a life beyond. When there's a life beyond, so you're concerned about answerability, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then only can you behave like this. You see this self-reproaching. The lowest soul, the lowest is that what we call Ammara, right? So, that soul is restricted, it's just about desire, temptation. So it's locked up, it's like jailed in prison within the parameters of its desires, temptation. Wherever the temptation is leading, go here, go eat this, see this, look at this. So it's locked up, it can't come out of it. Ammara tum bisu. So that's the lowest. And as you are progressing, then you are coming to Lawwama, see? Allah Pak gives you that tawfiq, that grace of Allah Ta'ala strikes, and now you begin to reproach. Whether it's a good work or a wrong work, then to be reproaching yourself. يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. They're doing all good works, works of kindness. But yet they are reproaching themselves, they're not bragging about the good they are doing. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ وَبِالْأَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. They're doing everything, tajud. But at the early part of the morning, then they're crying. So, They don't feel complacent at any time. For the wrong, they will definitely express remorse. But for the good also, then too, they're not feeling complacent about themselves. You know, we didn't do it like how we're supposed to be doing it. So it's reproaching and reproaching all the time. So now that's the second. Then when a person continues like this, he takes advantage, he appreciates this grace of Allah Ta'ala, because Allah Ta'ala has taken an oath on this nafs al-lawwamah, showing the esteemed position of this soul. Soul has progressed. So Allah Ta'ala, in impressing upon us the esteemed position of this soul, he takes an oath, وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَ. Otherwise he wouldn't have taken an oath on something that doesn't have any esteem, no esteem, no honor, whatever. Allah Ta'ala will not take an oath in something like that. Yes, it's got some esteem, some honor. So Allah Ta'ala, so that is a reflection of the man's truth. See, he's truthful to himself, therefore he approaches. If he wasn't truthful, then he'll make up a story just to justify. Wherever, however, but no, I need to justify. Make the story right. Make it happen. No, you're making it happen, but don't you realize who is watching? The one above is watching. You're trying to make the story look right. But does that come right? If you're trying to make it look right, does it come right? It doesn't appear right. It doesn't become right. What is wrong, you have to accept it's wrong. That is the lowest level of iman, that you accept the wrong to be wrong. But now you try to justify that right, that wrong. Really, you're putting your iman on the block. You don't know which side is going to be turning. Sheikh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullahi, in the Fazail al-Quran, is quoting Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi Rahmatullahi, and he's showing how some people lose their iman. Right? They are persisting in a wrong, and they delay the tawbah, rectification process, just carry on. Divorce their wives, but they're living. Three divorces, she's haram, and he's worried now, you know, what puri dunya mujhe kya kahegi, what the world will say. And just then Malakul Maut comes and takes him. So he's lived his life in haram right till the end. Tawbah ka mauka nahi mila. What happens to the person? Can get deprived. He's living in haram. He's usurping the wealth of the state. He's eating the thing. So no, in time I'll see everything right. But in the meanwhile, time is running out. Death is approaching, and he's just procrastinating. And then the game is up. You see. So this whole attitude of justifying. So accept the wrong to be wrong, right to be right, that's the least degree. You know, with what happiness and joy we do the Khatm al-Quran, you know. And we say that the person has completed the Quran Sharif and his father will be crowned on the day of Jannah, and he'll be able to usher 10 people into Jannah. Right? But do you know also, provided أحل حلاله وحرم حرامه. What the Quran has declared as halal, you consider it and believe it as halal. What the Quran has declared as haram, you take it as haram. You don't mix around things. You know, now presently, I think there isn't a week or a day that you don't hear all these type of stories that are so nauseating. LG and gay and what story. Nearly every second, third day you're hearing these stories. They say, in the 30s, you know, 1930s, the youngster came from the university to his parents, says, you know, now I found a girl. So the parents will tell him, you know, this, our family doesn't work like this. We will find the suitor for you and we'll sort everything out for you. You don't find the suitor for yourself. All right? In the 30s, things were still under control. There was some still sanity and respect. People still felt, you know, we should listen to the elders. Came to the 60s, so the youngster comes to the varsity again, I found the girl, and I need to get settled. Now the parents, the tone has changed. So the father asks now, is it Meman, Surti, or Urdu, what is it? Right. Then came to the 90s, the child came for the varsity again, and he's asking the parents, you know, I need to get married. So the father asks, is it a Muslim or a non-Muslim? What is it? What is it? Now it came to the 2020, see 30 years, every 130 years is a generation. So the next 30 years, now, when the child says, you know, I need to get married. So the father said, is it a boy or a girl? Now we may take it as a joke, but do you realize that this is happening, is a reality? And then we are condoning it as though we're not showing a content. We don't feel a dislike and aversion for it. We don't feel like that. So no, let them come. I ask you in all fairness, if you're the person that is a drug lord, you want to go near him, and you let your child be near him, why won't you do it? And so, no, Islam can accommodate everybody. A drug lord, and you'll give him the mimbar. No, you won't do that. So you're not going to do it. Why aren't you going to keep that person close to you? Why? The reason is obvious. And if your son ever joins that person, what you'll say? You join that person, you go near, they'll break your legs. Won't you say that to your son? Well, you know why you're saying that. So then what's the disparity? Why this person you treat different? And so, no, I must respect him and whatever else, other stories you make. Why? Just because this is coming from the West, therefore. Because it's coming from that quarter, so therefore we show it a respect. So our deen, do we authorize them to design our deen? Ask yourself. Are they the designers of our deen? So whatever they say, then we must respect. One friend came from Cape Town. So he had a shop, sports equipment. So he had branches in Durban, Cape Town, Johannesburg, everywhere. So he came, no, I closed that branch of mine in Cape Town. He's telling me, I closed it. But what happened? So now I was in the shop, doing very good business. Alhamdulillah, I'm doing very good business. Now one man came around, and he's caressing me like this. I look, hey. Then he's whispered that I'm gay. Hey, I was so nauseated, you know. Said it was not a legal offense, I would have done something. I felt so nauseated. Now, I said, this is the iman that is speaking in him. He feels so nauseated with haram. إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ وَسَاءَتْكَ سَيِّئَتُكَ فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٌ. When the wrong is really, you really feel hurt about the wrong, and the right you really feel good about it, then that's a sign of iman. Now you are with this person, you are that person, with everybody. How can it work? Can you ever put it together? This person with an ordinary, simple iman said, no, I felt so nauseated, I had to just get away, I had to close that shop. So now this is going to carry on. This is going to carry on today, then tomorrow is going to continue. I won't be able to manage this. So I'd rather just close this branch and move away. So this is the entry level. Some experience I'll explain to you. Chota Mota, all of us know, Mahfum Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah is Mamaji, right? His uncle. So just before he could pass away, I may say about 5 days or 6 days or whatever, he phoned. He was like frantic and he's phoning me. So I don't know, Chota Mota, why is he so frantic? What does he want to convey to me? He's telling me, you know what? I saw a dream. It's all right. Chota Mota won't speak like that. Today, he was speaking in a different tone, in a different way he was speaking. So I asked him, what happened? So he says, no, I saw so-and-so, my friend. I saw him like it was a Jannat scene, man that is over 80. He was really like 30 and young and elevated place and too beautiful, white clothing. Normally the description of a Jannati. Allah Pak knows best, but normally the description of a Jannati. So we got talking now because it's an old friend. So we got talking. So as we got talking, so I asked, but you know, what brought you here? You know, you came up and you elevated, what brought you here? So his answer was something for us to understand. His answer was like this. He said, I learned something from my ustad. In those days, if they learned something from the ustad, they would take it to heart. Whatever it was, my senior, he taught me something about deen, and I must hold this thing, I mustn't move away. So I learned something from my ustad, and I don't move away from it. So the lesson that I learned from my ustad was, when you do a wrong, make istighfar, accept, acknowledge, make istighfar and continue. Don't you try to justify the wrong. Say, no, isn't there a place for me in Islam? The drug lord says, no, isn't there a place for me in Islam? The lesbian will say, isn't there a place for me in Islam? The one is eating, number two, isn't there a place for me in Islam? For everybody. You know, some years back, there was one pastor, accepted Islam, Jamaluddin, some of you may have heard of him. His parents were Jew and Christian, and then he moved from Judaism to Christianity, then to Islam. So one day he came to come and meet us now and then. So he says, I'm a pastor, so I know about Christianity. But do you know what is the essence of Christianity? He's asking us. Now he studied right through the comparative religion. Now he's coming to a conclusion. Say, you know what is Christianity all about? He says, it's a license to commit sin. It's a license to do any wrong. Any wrong. Now, exactly the same temperament is going with us. لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ السُّنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ Same ways. We'll say, all type of banking is right. Whether it's usury interest, that's right. Mixing freely with women is right. They can come into a so-called Islam, something about Islam, but they can come there with the bosom showing a little bit, but they can be in the front line, but yet they're Islam. Right? They can be driving, going freely, talking to men, women, everybody, they can talk, they're Muslims. Photography, everything can happen, they're still Muslims. Everything becomes permissible. So I ask you now, is there any difference between us and the ways of the Christians? See the truth of the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ You will definitely follow the ways of the people of the past. They did something, you will do it. Now because they did it, so you must do it. If they women are becoming professional, so your woman will become professional. If they are living in this type of a culture, this type of a dress, then you must do that. They are having this type of a party and celebration, you must do it. Why? Because they are doing it. The Muslim Muhammad Shafi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, I was once in Madina Munawwara. Right, I was right by the Rose Mubarak. And in the old days, I remember the time, late 70s, so you could go right to the Jali Mubarak, right to there. Now there's some barricade or something, so you can't go so close. But Mufti Sahib says that I used to keep about 3-4 meters away, thinking myself to be unworthy to go so close. And I would convey my salams from that point. And I used to think to myself, these people are so blessed, right from the Jali Mubarak, they are conveying the salams, you know. Whilst these thoughts were going through my mind, then I heard Nabi Sallam saying, what I heard him saying, he says, that those people that may be living thousands of miles away from me, but they commit themselves to my sunnah, they are closest to me. But those people that are holding on to the Jali Mubarak, but they got nothing to do with the sunnah, then I got nothing to do with them. O kama qal, right? Now, Mufti Shafi Sahib says, thereafter, that voice came to me, that is baat ko sabko sunao. Don't keep it to yourself, go and announce this thing here. Are you think now the great thing is go there and hold the place? No, no. The greater thing is with love, you follow the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Commit yourself. We're spending all this wealth, going to this place, then why don't we take the maximum? The maximum can be acquired when we are holding and committing ourselves to his teachings. And one easy, simple way that I think about, you know, that when we practice a sunnah, then we do it with a frame of mind. Okay, yeh mere pyare nabi ki sunnat hai. You're coming into them as small sunnats. But this is the way of my pyare nabi, my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He came in with the right. He read Bismillah, Salatu Wassalamu ala Rasulillah, Allahumma ghfir li dhanbi waftah li abwaab rahmatik, other respective duas. But this was his way, so I'm doing it because it was the way of my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Going to the toilet, this was the way of my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I must go with the left. Read this dua. But at every point, and Ramadan, one of the things that is very prominent, ihtisab, to say, I'm doing it because it was the sunnah, and because this is the virtue. I'm doing this Because this is the virtue, this is the sawab, therefore I'm doing it. Now how we understand ihtisab? Until we don't give an illustration, you will not fully comprehend what's the meaning of ihtisab. So one is iman, right? All of us know what is iman. Like, you just confirmed an employment in a shop, that's like iman, basic now. You know, there's an understanding between the employer and the employee that you are mine and I'm yours. That's the understanding. Right? Then the second level is niyat, right? So the boss tells you, alright, you're going to be working from 8 to 4, right? So that's the niyat, I'm going to conform. For that 8 to 4, that you will pay me 8,000, for example, right? So that's the niyat. I will do this, I'm doing this because you're going to pay me 8,000. So that's the niyat. Now what is ihtisab? You know, to have that ummeed ka sawab, you know, sawab ki ummeed. Now how in this type of an arrangement, how do you understand it? You understand it like this. Say the boss tells you, alright, your wage is 8,000. But you conform to certain standards, you come on time, you leave on time, if there is a need and you see me right. And you know your boss is very good, right? Very honest. If he says something, he will honor his promise. He says, if you just conform to all this, end of the year, I'm buying you a free S-Class 5 million Rand Mercedes and sending you and your family off for Umrah. Now I ask you, you will work like a normal worker, or there'll be some different type of a life in you? How will you work? How will you work? There'll be life in you. Hey, end of the year, my merc is coming. My boss, he doesn't play fools. If he says something, he will do it. Sending me and my whole family for Umrah, and he's giving his merc, I'm going to go for it. I will do more than what I'm supposed to be doing. See? So at every step of the road, now we're thinking to ourselves that Allah Pak's promise, coming for Fajr, for example, then the virtues, right? Fi zimmatillah, fi damanillah. You under the security of Allah, you under His security. He is taking care of you. Don't worry. Every step you are taking, getting forgiven, right? And you will get a perfect nur on the day of Qiyamah, that you're walking to the masjid with that frame of mind, not just as a routine. If you're going to do it as a routine, I won't say you won't get sawab, but there will be no life in your work. Alim Sahib is complaining, why are we doing it as a routine? We're not doing to bring about life in the action. We're leaving the home, making wuzu, understanding that all my sins are getting forgiven, I'm getting elevated and coming closer to Allah Ta'ala, I'll get that perfect nur. Now there'll be a different flavor in the works that you're doing. You're reading the Quran since you came early to the masjid. Every letter I'm reciting, and there's 10 nekis for me. So there'll be a different flavor in your ibadah. But if you're doing it as a routine, I don't say you're not going to get rewarded, but you're not going to get that type of reward. As we're approaching Ramadan, then what we need to do, one thing we definitely need to do, all of us, is to improve the relationship with Allah Ta'ala. One person came this morning, so Bishara, he went into some wrong habits. He was right down and out and everything broken down, when I'm causing it and all that. So I said, see, this is not a path of despondency. Imagine you have to reach Cape Town. You've got a little bit of a car that is not too reliable, right? Not too reliable car you've got, but you have to reach Cape Town, right? You know you are desperate, you must go there. Now, en route, you had a puncture, what you do? So, well, what must I do? I'll fix it up and continue. You have another problem, I'll fix it up and I must reach there. So the same, you've got a guna, fix it up and move. You made a guna, fix it up and move. Now you say, no, I made a guna, and then you become overwhelmed and you become depressed and all that. So you're hurting yourself. Yes, fix yourself. Whatever it takes to fix yourself and move on. So this month of Ramadan is for you and for us to connect ourselves to Allah Ta'ala, to have the right relationship with Allah Ta'ala. When you got the right relationship with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then you get this type of an address at the time of death. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna. The soul that is totally satisfied, happy with Allah Ta'ala. He's satisfied. What do you mean by satisfied? In other words, he finds satisfaction in the do's and the don'ts of Allah Ta'ala. Allah says, don't do this, I feel full satisfaction. You must not look at the haram. I feel full satisfaction in not looking at the haram. Look at the right, look at your mother's face and your father's face, and so much of sawab you'll get, you know, like one hajj maqbool sawab you'll get. So I will look at that. So you feel full satisfaction in that. In the do's and the don'ts, you feel that full satisfaction. The satisfaction goes to such a point that it becomes like natural. Like how you will, you will disgust number two. You will disgust, you don't want to go near it. So the do's and the don'ts become so attractive, and the do's become so disgusting, like it became natural. You find full satisfaction. So now you are addressed at the time of death. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah. You go, come back to your Rabb. You are pleased with him, and he is pleased with you as well. You are pleased. Now I ask you, is there anything else that you can aspire? Anything else beyond that? That Allah Pak is happy and you are happy. I'll just read one, two incidents and I'll close this. Sa'id ibn Jubayr, he says that we were in Taif when Ibn Abbas had passed away. And passed away, so as the bier came, so we saw a bird never like before, exotic, too beautiful. And it just came and it tucked itself into the bier. We never see it again. Then when we lowered his body into the grave in Taif, then from the corner of the grave we heard, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiya, fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. Looking around, can't find anybody. So that address was made to this person, Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu. Come back to your Rabb, you be well pleased, and he is pleased with you. I ask you, can you think of anything higher than that? Allah Pak is pleased, and you are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fattan ibn Razin, he says, we are crossing through Christian territory, we apprehended. The Christian king is forcing us. So if you don't, then we'll kill you. Nauzubillah, three people became apostate, they turned away, became murtad. Came to the fourth person, no, I just do what you want. So he beheaded him, and he took his head and threw it into the river. It was nearby there. Right. This is the reporter in Tabrani, right? So this head just went down, it dipped, like, you know, if someone is drowning, it goes right down, and it resurfaced. Came up to the top and said, you took everybody's names there, right? And it says, your Rabb says, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah, fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. Oh, it shook that whole place was shaken up. Those Christians that were around, they accept Islam. Those that turn apostate, they came back. So you see, Allah Pak wants you to improve your relationship. Nothing else. Correct your relationship. Now, to correct the relationship, what is required? One is, I can't go into the details. Maybe Mulana can explain the details some other time. One is, Ali Rajam says that the details are four. To get that relationship, restore relationship. Now, as you come to Ramadan, you got the restored it. You're just moving, you're just flowing. One is, you must express remorse for the wrong that you have done. Number two, resolve not to do that, right? Number three is rectify the wrong. Whatever wrong you have done, rectify that. Rectify that. Rectify that thing. I've done this now, I need to rectify it. I'm owing this person here, I hurt him, I left out some namaz, some zakat, whatever. Let me rectify it. Whatever it takes, let me rectify it. And the fourth requirement to complete and perfect this tawbah is leave that area or that person where you committed the wrong. Leave it. Even if you have to break it. The thing, let you see is born, right? So bust that thing and throw it. You are connecting with Allah Ta'ala, you know, kid haram. Now you see, make tawbah, and tomorrow again you're going to go back. So is tawbah sakya fayda hota hai? You want to show Allah Ta'ala that you really love him, then show it. There must be a token that this was the thing that tempted me. Now I may bust me. Bust it. You know, one student, university student, he came. I was moving so well, man. And I just went and saw one thing. I was looking for something on the Google, and this thing flashed. And then I got attracted. Naked girl, and I got attracted. It's 3 weeks that have passed, and I don't just have the inclination now. masjid, namaz, everything is just broken down. Just one glance and what he's done to me. So you see this, that area or that place or that person that can tempt you to wrong, just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, throw it out. أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ وَأَبْغَدَ لِلَّهِ Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Let us come into Ramadan in a state that Allah Ta'ala is happy with us and He's happy with us. We are happy with Him as well. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulil Kareem. Wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna. لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ مَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً فِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ